Good morning.
Good morning.
The last service, as soon as I put my foot on that step, I heard God say, charge. So I screamed for the last 25 minutes. So I was sitting back there saying, God, please, 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 unless you want me to charge, I will. How many of you, God, you know a lot of times, but I'm going to tell you, that's not what God said this morning. I believe that God is wanting to stir things in our hearts this morning. Because one thing about it is, God has sent people to let us know there's a glorious future ahead. There's a glorious future He has prepared for us. God has prepared destiny and purposes for each one of our lives. He prepared them so long ago when we were even in the womb. God was creating and God was planning, and God's purpose is so good. It is so good. But the process to get there, sometimes you have to stand back and you have to believe what God has told you. I wish I would have known that. I'm sure it's been taught and taught and taught, but a lot of times for me to get to where God is telling me to go, along the process of it, it takes a lot of highs and a lot of lows. It does. It kind of does this and it does this, and I'm telling you, but all of that is the goodness of God. Every bit of that is the goodness of God, because God told me 5 years ago, and I believe it's the purpose of freedom in God. It is to heal you, to fulfill you. God wants to heal you. Yes, He wants to heal you. He wants all those hurts and all those things in our lives that we know we're not right, and all those situations and circumstances that we've walked through that have caused us to view and to be able to be in relationships in an unhealthy way. God wants all of that to be lined up right. He wants to heal you. And if you are broken, I'll tell you the truth, God is the healer. God is the healer. We're all broken in some degree, but if you hurt deeply, I'm going to tell you the truth from experience, you don't have to hurt. You don't have to hurt. God's desire is not for you to live a life that you walk out on this earth hurt and broken. God's desire is to heal you, to fulfill you, to fulfill you, to fulfill what He's called you to do, to put you in the position and you be able to stand when it's not easy to stand. God's desire is to do things in you so He can do things for you, so He can do things through you. And freedom this year has really taken a stand in that in this church, that God wants to heal you to fulfill you. I want to get in alignment with what God is saying to you, because what God is saying to you, it's for you. But it's not just for you. It's for people all around you. It's for people that you don't even know that are connected with you. It is for people that are watching you to see what God is going to do for you. To see if God is going to do what He said He was going to do for you. God's desire is to heal you, to fulfill you. Now, I started at the very end, but I'm going to start completely different in this service because I feel like God told me to. If you were at church last Wednesday night when Bill was preaching, he started talking about Jacob. And that whole service, I was like, don't go there. Because I knew what I was coming to preach this morning. But I'm going to tell you, when God confirms His Word, He confirms His Word. When He went all the way to 32, I was like, God, well, I cannot say it was not You. It was God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a storyline of what God is wanting to get you to this year. God is wanting to do for you this year. God is wanting to birth in you this year. And it's going to take you getting in alignment with what God is saying to you. To you. God has got to be able to speak into your life where you hear it and receive it. Church, we can only go so far on what we know. But you can go all the way to the end with where God tells you to go. You can make it just like Jesus. Man, Jesus accomplished all of it. When He said it is finished, He had done the task and He had let God lead Him all the way through it. There is a leading of God, I believe, in each one of our lives, that we couldn't go that low, we couldn't go that high, we couldn't go that deep, we would never be able to think about it in that way, but God's voice will lead you there. God's voice will lead you to all of these beautiful pictures that have been painted before us in this year. Amen. But you've got to be able to stick with God's word like glue. Like glue. I'm going to tell you, you got to be able to stick with God's word and not move unless God's word tells you to move. You will never be able to think where God is trying to take you this year. You will not be able to think it through. You know, and Jacob found himself this place. In Genesis 32:22, we find a different story in the Bible. And this story, it gives the picture of Jacob wrestling with God. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Last September, God said, wrestle with me. Don't tell that to a whole lot of people. I'm not joking. I came back and I was like, God, seriously? I kind of, that sounds completely unspiritual, does it not? But it's in the Bible. It sounds, and if you tell that to people, people are going to start praying for you because they're thinking you are in a deep, unspiritual place. They're going to worry about you. But I'm telling you, to go where God is wanting you to go this year, you're going to have to attach yourself to God and not let go. You're going to have to attach yourself to what God is saying, regardless of what anybody else is saying around you. See, in this place in Jacob's life, Jacob was successful in certain areas of his life. God was prospering him. I mean, he was seeing God. He was talking to God. There was communication there. There was a lot of things that were going on in his life. And he was being blessed. I believe there's different levels of living. I believe God wants to bless you. And I believe that you can get in the Word and you can find the promises and you can walk out a life that's blessed. But I'm going to tell you, there's a second level of living that God is calling people to in this season. And he is saying, I just don't want to bless you. I want to use you. I want to use you. I want to be able to birth into you something where you can trust what I'm saying, regardless if your circumstances and situations look like it. Regardless if it looks like a blessing, you can trust I'm a blessing and you can walk through it to be a blessing to others. There is a systematic, I believe, a spiritual change where God is beginning to birth in people's hearts. God, I want you not only to bless me, I want you to use me. I want to be the destiny that you've called me to be. I don't want to just be the most that I can be. And there is a spiritual place I believe God is carrying us as a church to. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting. It's exciting when God has you go deep. It's exciting when God has you go strong. It's exciting. Me and my husband have said and said a lot of times this year, we've said, we never thought we could handle this. We didn't know. You don't know what spiritual strength God is wanting to pour inside of you. You don't know what spiritual place God is wanting to move into you. You don't know how strong your spirit man really is until it's been tested in a fire over and over and over to where you find out, hey, I might seem weak in other areas, but I'm going to tell you, in my spirit, I'm strong. That's a place I believe that God moves into our life and he wants to use us. He wants to use us. And it don't always look like that at first. Jacob's life was being blessed. And Jacob came to a place to where God had told him to move on. And Jacob obeyed. Let me tell you, this year, you got to be able to hear God. You got to be able to, for you to fulfill what God has called you to be, you cannot play with the voice of God. You got to be able to honor the voice of God. You got to be able to love God's voice in your life. You got to be able to cling to God's voice in your life. You got to be able to trust God's voice in your life. You've got to be able to move with the cloud this year. That cloud is going to tell you to set, set. That cloud is going to tell you to walk, walk. That cloud is going to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And I'm going to tell you the truth. We're going to be a church that is able to move by the breath of God and see God do great things in our lives. Because, and I said it in the first service this morning, you are the church. You know that, right? You are the church. This building is not the church. These walls are not the church. You are the church. God has created each one of you individually and placed you here because there is a collective body. But there are individual parts of God in this church that God's wanting to birth dreams. Dreams. And I'm going to tell you, they're probably not your dreams. God's wanting to dream His dreams through us. Amen. There's such a place in my heart because God has said that to me time and time. I'm wanting to dream my dreams. God's wanting to dream His dreams. God's dreams a lot of times are not our dreams. A lot of times God's dreams for us go against what we would naturally dream for ourselves. If you are dreaming on a level of what you can accomplish with your talents, with your abilities, you're not dreaming God's dreams. God's dreams come into our life because all throughout the Bible, you see people live out the dreams of God. And they came into an area of their life where without God, it would have been unfruitful. But when God came in and began to speak into these areas of their life, He spoke into areas it could only been God. It could have only been God. And you can stand back and say, well, God, I can be really good at this area of my life. But all throughout the Bible, and I'm going to tell you from personal experience, all throughout my life, God does not come and fluff up those areas. God comes into those areas to where you need Him the most. Because when we are weak, He is strong. When we are our weakest in the natural, it becomes a spiritual work. And it becomes something only God can do. And what births out of that becomes an incredible anointing. An incredible anointing. If you build what God is wanting to do with your hands, it's a natural process. It's a natural process, and it'll get you somewhere. It will. It will get you somewhere if you lean on your abilities and if you stay in your comfort zone and if you say, God, you know what? You gave me this. This is what I'm going to use. But I'm going to tell you the truth. All throughout the Bible, God came into people's life where there was no hope in the natural, and He spoke a supernatural word, and out of that supernatural work became transformation, became miraculous process, became bending, began conforming, became a supernatural breath of God, and life came out of an area where there was no life. I'm going to tell you, God did not anoint Abraham in a place where he was fruitful. God anointed Abraham in a place where he was weak. God did not anoint Joseph in a place where he was fruitful. Joseph had problems with his brothers. He was the least in their eyes. No matter what God was saying, it would have made sense for God to come and talk to Reuben. Do you know that? If God came and told Joseph's older brother what God told Joseph, people would have stood back and said, oh, I see that. I can see that happening. You leader, yes. Oh, yes. That makes perfect sense. You have the gifts. You have the talents. You have the connections. You have the setup. It all would work well. I see it happening. But God comes into our weakness. God comes into our weakness and teaches us how to lean on Him and to become spiritually strong. Because what God breathed into Joseph, Joseph could not naturally do. There was no way he could naturally lead his family. There was no way he could naturally save his family. So one thing I think it's real important that we know this year is we need to know what God is saying compared to what we are saying. There's got to be a definite line of understanding what God is saying to us and what our mind and what our abilities and what our talents are saying to us. Because if we begin to build natural houses, if we begin to build natural dreams, God will let our dreams go so far. But I'm going to tell you, God's dreams takes us all the way to the end. And this is a year that God is wanting to get on board where He's wanting us to go. God's dreams that are being spoken over this church are not natural dreams. I'm going to tell you, where God is wanting to take you individually, you can't get there. And this is where we find Jacob. This is where we find Jacob. Jacob could be prosperous. He's a little deceptive, but he could be prosperous. But Jacob found himself in a position to where naturally he could not make it work for himself. Naturally, he could not make it work for himself. It says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and he sent them over the brook. He sent over all that he had, and then Jacob was left alone. Now, I'm going to stop right here because this is a real personal message for me. Because God set me right here back in August, and he said, I know it seems like a lot of people are going on. He said, but you don't go. He said, you sit there, and you stand there, and you become so glued, pressed, wrestle in this moment right now. And I'm going to take that word wrestle, and I'm going to give you two different versions of it. It means wrestle, and it also, it means javelin. Like we think like a javelin hook. It's two words. It means two different things. And they almost mean the same thing. Now, as I sit here and I talk to God over and over this, what's the goal of a wrestling match? I've never known much about wrestling. I've never even watched it, I don't think, except in a movie. But the purpose of wrestling is to pin somebody, correct? To make them where they can't move. To get them in a position, right? To get them to where they are immovable. And to think about it in the way of the javelin hook, it's where you throw it and it catches onto something and it sticks to something and it draws you to that, right? I always think about climbing. You throw it and it hooks you there, and then you pull yourself to where you are in that location of where that hook is, right? I'm going to tell you the truth this year. You can't go where God wants you to go. You cannot go where God wants you to go. You can't think it. You can't plan it. You can't get there. You can't become it. You can't manipulate it. You can't form it. You can't make it. You can't go where God is wanting you to go. But God can take you there. So I'm going to tell you the truth, that you need to get in such a position to where what you are hearing becomes such a place where you are not moving unless God moves with you. Because Jacob, what was in him, was not going to be able to take that battle alone. His brother was coming, and his brother was coming with an army. He was. And his brother had more people than he had. And he could have jumped out and he could have done it in the natural. I think Jacob knew that. He knew he could face that battle in the natural. If he did, he even could have won. But I'm going to tell you, any battle you fight in the natural, it doesn't matter if it looks like in the natural you win, in the spiritual you lose. We don't fight like normal people. We don't fight like natural people. We fight a supernatural battle. And the battle is not with the person that's sitting next to you. The battle is with the enemy. It is with the enemy. So God was teaching Jacob in a moment how to let a transformation moment happen, because God's going to come to you in your life in areas, and when God steps into the room, you need to be able to recognize that. Because God steps into our life in a lot of different areas and we don't even know He's there. A lot of times God steps into our life and it don't look like Him and it don't seem like Him. And because we are not spiritually listening, we miss what God is wanting to transform in our lives in that moment. A lot of places in our lives will look plain until suddenly God appears. A lot of situations we're involved in will be just like they've always been until suddenly God appears. But I'm going to tell you, to have spiritual eyes this year, to notice when suddenly God appeared. Because when suddenly God appeared, do you know what Jacob did? He grabbed onto him and he said, I'm not going across that river if you don't go with me. He made that become a place in his life where he consecrated that place, and he said, this is a transformation place. There was things in his life that had to be changed for his life to walk out the destiny God had for him. There were things in his character that had to be changed for God to walk out the destiny he had for him. Now, he could have done it in the natural. He might have succeeded, he might have not, but I'm going to tell you, it would not have been a spiritual victory. It would not have been a spiritual victory. Because when you notice God showing up in an area of your life, when God begins to speak to you about an area of your life, and you haven't disciplined yourself to learn to hear God's voice, or learn to hear God's voice, or learn to recognize God, or learn to see what God is doing, when you haven't disciplined that, you're going to miss the transformation process and you're not going to be transformed. But because Jacob knew God was in that place, he sent everything ahead of him. And he said, I'm going to stand right here. And when God showed up, he clanged. He clanged. He cleaned because of desperation. I'm going to tell you, I've cleaned because of desperation. Has anybody in here cleaned because of desperation? He cleaned because he needed transformation. Has anybody in here cleaned because you need transformation? He cleaned because he knew the only way to get to his destiny was for God to do it through him. This year, the only way that you're going to get to your destiny is for God to breathe it through you. It's got to start there. It's got to start in a place in your life that you allow God to show up and to speak to you. You've got to allow God to have his way with your life. And if God says, don't cross that river, if he tells you don't cross that river, if everybody else is crossing that river, you don't cross that river. Because what God wants to do on this side is to prepare you for what God wants to do on the other side. The transformation is the process. We cling to God because in that clinging, he transforms us. That clinging process that happened. I'm going to tell you, and it's scary when God says don't move. It is. It's intimidating. It's insecure. It's all of those things that the enemy wants it to be. But let me tell you, you can find a safety net in holding on to God until God speaks to your life where you're at. You can find that safety net there. And because he held on to God, because he wrestled with God and he wrestled with man. What that means is he held on to God to where God said, all right, Jacob, that's enough. I see your heart's in this. I see you're planning for this. I see the open door. I'm going to call you Israel. What God called him was my prince. What God called him was my son, my prince. You're royalty to me. What you are is something so special to me. I'm going to seal my name on your approval. You're going to walk out in life and you're going to carry my name. There is a transformation process in the clinging. There's a transformation process in the waiting. There's a transformation process in the not moving unless God moves, that if you don't allow it to happen, it won't happen for you. It won't happen for you. And what was able to walk across that river, what was able to go and face that brother, was a son of God. Was a man who knew he was sealed for destiny and was a man who could humble himself. When you know who you are, you can humble yourself. When you know whose name you carry, you can humble yourself. When you are walking into battles, I'm going to tell you, when you're walking into places where God is telling you to walk, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And I'm going to tell you, humility, most of the time, face to face with people is the right answer. Humility cuts the legs off the devil. Humility comes into a situation and it handles things like God would handle them. So because Jacob allowed God to transform this insecure, this deceitful, this person who wasn't sure if he had his father's approval, if he had his father's love, what God was able to do was confirm it in such a way where he could come up to his brother and he could say, I'm here. and he could put himself under situations. You know, David had to do this, and almost every great man in the Bible had to learn the walk of humility. Because the Bible says, if you humble yourselves, I'll lift you up. If you humble yourself, I'll lift you up. If you'll humble yourself in situations, God will lift you up out of those situations. So as Jacob walked across that river and he was able to humble himself, he was able to have peace with Esau, and he was able to go on and have his destiny. What the enemy was trying to set up to be a bad, bloody, dysfunctional family was trying to cause it to be something that was just going to be a bad stain on his life for the rest. God said, no, 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 no. That's not what I have for you. I have a sonship for you. I have a destiny for you. And the purpose of walking through this battle is to teach you to walk like I walk. And because Jacob could walk like Christ walked, Jacob could come out of that with the destiny that God had for him. I'm going to tell you, this year, you're going to have to walk like God walks. You're going to have to stand back and hear what God is saying. You're going to have to be able to humble. Man, this, so many times this year, God has said, will you go low? I know what that means. I'm aware of that statement that comes. And the truth is, if you can't go low, God can't lift you up. If you can't find your security and your place in who God has called you to be, you can't be someone that God can birth the destiny He wants to birth through you, through your life. He can't bring you to that place. And every time I'm put in a position to go low, I'm going to tell you the truth, God supernaturally changes that situation, and it becomes a part of my destiny. And it becomes a part of my purpose. And it becomes a transformation inside of me where there is such a security, and I am His daughter. You got my back. You got my back. You're paving my way. You're clearing my path. You're securing my destiny. You're taking me to the palace. I don't got to get there. I don't got to fight tooth and nail. I don't have to clear my own path. Your words will lead us there. And I'm telling you, God wants to dream through you this year. God wants to dream His dreams. God wants to birth His dreams. And when God begins this process, I believe in some of us, He's already begun that process. I believe in some of us, we're trying to get ourselves to a place to where we can hear God. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You can hear God. You can hear God. There is faith in this vessel that you can hear God. There is faith in this church that you can hear God. And I'm going to tell you, where God wants to take you, His voice will be what it takes to lead you there this year. You will not be able to do it. Back to August. Last time I preached in this church, as I stepped down here and I was preparing to build what I thought was what God was wanting to do in this fall through the church, God specifically told me time and time and time again, get your hands out. Get your hands out of it. Get your hands out of it. Get your hands. I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest things you ever have to do is put your hands in your pocket and wait on God. Oh, you get looks. I am going to tell you, every spiritual person that thinks you should be doing something will gladly come and tell you what they think you should be doing. And all you can simply say is, I'm waiting on God, which makes them pray harder for you, which makes them just kind of get on their knees and intercede for you more. But I'm telling you, if the cloud don't move, don't move. If the cloud's not moving you, don't move on your own. Because I believe the enemy is at work in the church. I believe the enemy is trying to get us to build something that we say, hey, this is God's. And God's like, I had no idea where that came from. That was not my blueprint. That was not my plans. Well, it has your name on it. Did it have my voice in it? Did it have my voice in it? Did you activate what I was saying to you? Or did you get in your mind what you thought I wanted you to do? There is a conviction, I believe, strong right now, where if God is not saying it, do not do it. If God is not speaking it, do not do it. But if God is saying it, attach yourself to it so strong that no matter where you go and what people say and what people do, it's not going to disattach you from what God is saying to you to do. Because He wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for you. for you. He wants to stand back and say, it was all me, honey. It was all me. It wasn't your gifts. It wasn't your talents. It wasn't your ways. It was me that paved that path for you. Because when God does it, He gets the glory. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. And we don't have to fight pride along the way. We don't have to fight our flesh when we have to use our faith to get there. And that is a beautiful thing. I believe in your life, if what you are doing is controlling, it will die. But if what you are doing is leading under the leadership of God, if God is speaking to you and you're letting it go through you, straight under you, it's going to grow this year. It's going to grow this year. God does not want us to have control. He wants to have control. And when God comes and says, stand back, even when it's hard, even when you look like the most unspiritual person in the church, stand back. If you have to be on top to feel like you're pleasing God, there's a problem with you. There's a spiritual problem with you. If God can't pull you back into those quiet places, and if He can't build a new level of faith, if He can't pull you back and speak new words and be able to let them be birthed in your spirit before they come out into the natural, if He can't do that, you've hit the level that you're going to grow to. God has to begin the faith walk in your heart. It begins when nobody else sees it a lot of times but you. And I'm telling you, this path that we're walking on, it's trying in every way to prove that God's not right. But I'm going to tell you, God is right. God is right. God is right. God is right. What God is saying to you, He's going to do it for you. Get in alignment with what God is saying and glue yourself to that. Jeremiah, in the Bible, God, I'm always glad I was not Jeremiah. He didn't have an easy walk. Y'all know that. He was constantly having to say things that people didn't want to hear. He was constantly having to combat the false prophets, and he was having to be this voice of truth. And I'm telling you, he was a strong spiritual man. He had a strong spirit. So Jeremiah, and God brought me to this position to kind of understand how much we're going to have to allow, how much we're going to actually have to allow God's word to be glued to us this year. Because see, Jeremiah came and said, hey, he was talking to the king, Zedekiah. He said, you need to surrender. He had to give them the word. He had to give Israel the word. It's time to surrender. What's been going on has not been right. I mean, God does not want to harm you. God wants to bless you. This is a process that God's going to use. Have faith in it. God is saying it. Have faith in it. God is saying it. And because he was honest with what God was saying, he got put in prison. And he sat there with this word of God that he knew what God was telling him. And he had to just hold on to the word of God. Well, he got out. And they came back to him. And they said, all right, what is God saying? And you know what he said? You need to go ahead and surrender. It's time for this process of God. God is a part of this. This is not God. It might not look like God, but this is God. You need to get yourself in alignment so that this does not destroy your house. And because he would not unglue himself to what God was saying, he then got lowered all the way into a big ditch that had a whole lot of mud in it. So then he sat there, holding on to the word of God, making sure that he knew what God was saying, even when everybody else denied it was the word of God. And he sat there in that ditch. And I can only imagine what that felt like. I'm pretty sure that it felt like what a lot of us have felt like when God is speaking something into our life and nobody around us seems to see what God is saying. And this is what 2 Corinthians 12:10 says. And I feel like this is a place God brings us to in that. It says, I receive joy when I am weak. I receive joy when I am weak. when people talk against me and make it hard for me and try to hurt me and make trouble for me. I receive joy when all these things come to me because of Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to find a place where you make it a joy to you when all of these comes against you, because what God is wanting to birth in you is not going to be a straight up walk. I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have known that walking out the plans of God sometimes takes some ditches. Sometimes it takes some transformation. Sometimes it takes some places of holding on and letting God do it in me to do it for me. But I know now. But I know now. And what I want you to know is this year is a good year. God has spiritual, unbelievable dreams for you this year. And they're probably not going to be your dreams. They're probably not going to look easy for you to do. They're probably going to hit on every one of the insecurities you have in the natural. If you talk to me outside of this pulpit, I make a mess of a conversation. I just do. It's who I am in the natural. But I'm going to tell you, what God is wanting to speak into you is a supernatural work. It's a supernatural dream. It's the dream that would come to Joseph and say, I want you to be the savior. I want you to be the leader of every one of your family members. And Joseph, I know, had to say, how? Do you see how they look at me? Do you remember they threw me in a pit? Do you know how much they do not trust what I say? God speaks into our weaknesses because it says in 2 Corinthians 12:2, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Where you are at in your life, God wants to come into it. God's going to come to you and begin to speak in areas of your life where you can't make it happen. And I'm going to tell you the truth, that's a safe place. That's a safe place. Back before the year started, God gave me a warning for what I felt like was what the enemy. Sometimes God will let us see what the enemy's trying to do. And he said, the enemy is not after us to cause us to sin in the natural. I believe the plan of the enemy has been to cause us to be led by our own voice and not God's voice. He has been working hard to get us to build and erect and create things that with our own hands and with our own work, just like Saul did. Think about Saul. Saul was anointed. Saul was called of God. And when it came to a place where Saul was going to have to face his weaknesses and allow God to birth through it, Saul started building on his own strengths. Saul started making statues to himself. Saul started building things in a time, in a season, in an area that God was not speaking. And what happened is, Saul built up the children of God, the place that was supposed to be holy, and God was nowhere in it. God was nowhere in it. God was no more a part of what Saul was doing at the end of his life than God had any plans in it. It is an important season, church, that we do not build what God is not telling us to build. If His voice is not leading, if His voice is not being sought after, if the breath of God or the breath of life is not what we're doing, then we're not building God's house, we're building our own house. And I'm going to tell you, there's a reason the enemy is trying to get us to build houses right now with our own hands. There's a reason there is. In Matthew 7, God explains to us why the enemy would want us to build natural things this year. God explains to us why the enemy is so trying to get us away from the voice of God in our lives this year. It says in Matthew 7:24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's our only requirement. That's our only job. We don't have to figure it out. God doesn't. doesn't care if we have the smartest mind. God has the smartest mind. Wisdom comes from God. It does not come from us. It says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. You're going to be considered wise for just hearing and obeying. God's going to say, that is my faithful and wise servant, because you are being in a position to hear and obey. Hear and obey. Who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It was God inspired. It was supernaturally planted. It was a dream that came out of something that was not in the natural. And God built something spiritual in every one of our lives if we allow him, and it was a sure rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain also on this house descended, and the floods also on this house came, and the winds blew and it beat on that house and it fell. And it was a great fall. I'm going to tell you, God wants to build something in you that will outlast the plans of the enemy for all of your life. God wants to build something supernatural that will never be anything that you have to do but hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. God, I'm not smart enough. I don't care. You look smart to me. You can obey me. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. I'm going to tell you, church, you need to get really good at one thing. Hearing the voice of God. And teaching yourself to obey whatever His plans are for your life. Because His dreams go beyond what we could imagine. His dreams go far beyond what we could ever explore in our own selves. His dreams go far beyond our talents in any shape, in any form. His dreams are what you were created for. His dreams are what you were destined to be here for. His dreams will create in you a new you. A new you. A you that can go low and that can go high. A new you that can actually walk on water. A new you that can teach you the principles and characters of God. And you can walk into it. Hearing and obeying. Hearing and obeying. Now, I'm not going to leave Jeremiah in the pit. Even though he was in there for quite a while. Because he clung to the voice of God. And he would not relinquish it. You see, Abraham did that. Remember, Abraham sacrificed something to God. And he had to beat the vultures away to get off of his sacrifice. Whatever you sacrifice for God, you're going to have to beat the enemy away from it this year. Because it is a consecrated, holy place in your life. The enemy is going to want to steal it. He's going to want to confuse you and disattach you and remove you. He's going to get you to walk on past it. Don't walk on past it. Don't walk on past it. Don't walk on past it unless God tells you to. Jeremiah's sitting in that pit. Pull back up out of that pit. And the king secretly came over him and said, don't tell him we're talking. I'm going to tell you, if you're someone that can hear God, people will know it. People will see it. People will understand that you are doing something that is supernatural, even though they don't understand it. And because he would not relinquish, he would not back up, because he stuck like glue to what God was saying to him, God brought Jeremiah through that attack that wiped out almost all of Israel. Almost everyone went into bondage. Almost everyone was carried away. But you know what God said to Jeremiah? He had the king. See, because if you're holding on to God, you're on God's mind. If you're sticking with God, this year God is sticking with you. You might be in the bottom of that pit, but Psalms 40 says God's going to lift you up out of that miry clay and he's going to set your feet on a solid rock. He's going to do things for you that you could never have done for yourself. Because Jeremiah would not let go of what God was saying, God preserved him. God saved him. And it was even said, Jeremiah, look at all this land that's left. The people are gone, sorry. But look at all of this. Anything you see here, whatever house you see here, it's yours. And Jeremiah was able to live out his destiny and his purpose. Because see, he was tried in that fire. The word of God was tested, and it was tested, and it was tested. But here's what happened. When it's tested, it comes out to a great fulfillment in your life if you will not let go of it this year. If you will not let go of it this year. If you will not start building with your own hands. If you will not start moving yourself away from what God is saying. The church needs to be a church that says, God said to me. The church needs to be a place where this entire world can look and they can trust, hey, God is saying something there. God is speaking there. There's hope there. There's revival there. There's destiny there. There's a future there. It needs to be really comfortable for you this year to say, God has said to me, no more taboo. I'm going to tell you, no more taboo. No more shying around. I think God said, come my head. You get behind what God is saying, and God's going to get behind your year. You get behind where God is speaking, and God's going to get behind what He is doing. Quit disattaching yourself. The God of heavens is breathing into you. He is taking the time to speak into your life. Grab it. Hold it. Don't let it go. Don't rationalize it. Don't excuse it. Don't stop believing in it. And I'm going to tell you this year, God's word is going to see you through. To the other side, to the other side, to the other side. Whatever your other side is, I've got an idea of what mine is. God shows you pictures. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning when you wake up every morning and you let God speak into your day. And you let God speak into your future. And you let God speak into your life. And you know you don't have to. You know you don't have to. I want you to say with me, say, I'm not going to build my house. God's going to build my house. I'm not going to do the work unless God tells me to lift my hands. And I'm going to be a person this year that will hear and will not disattach myself, no matter how hard, no matter how scary, no matter how icky this path gets, because it's getting good. And one day, God took Joseph from the prison to the palace. One day, it was a prison sentence. Very same day, it was a ruling and reigning in Egypt. It is a one-day process for God to do it for you. It is a one-day process for God's miracle to unfold. Be found faithful. Be found faithful. Everyone bow your heads just for a second. I want us to consecrate this moment. Father, I pray right now that you see the hearts of your children. Lord, I come right now into an agreement with what your word is into their life. Lord, I pray if they cannot hear, if they have not moved to a place of faith, Lord, I speak faith right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you right now that you are breathing into the lives of every person in this building and every person on this earth. And you are breathing the life of God, the breath of God, your word, your voice. The Bible says what is natural under the voice of God withers, but what is supernatural grows. Lord, I thank you there's a supernatural growing right now in our spirit, man. Lord, I thank you that you are attaching us to your will and your plan and your way. Father, I thank you right now that the gates of hell will not prevail on the church, and I'm the church. It will not prevail because you are teaching me how to maneuver in the spirit. You are teaching me how to walk out the spirit walk. You are teaching me how to hear and obey, hear and obey, hear and obey. Father, right now, Lord, I pray. I want everybody in here to just close your eyes, and I want you to whisper to God. I want you to say, Father, I want more of you. I want more of you in my life this year. I want more of you in my walk, in my day, in my mornings, in my prayer even. I want more of your voice. I want more of you. Lord, I pray right now that the taboo against your voice in the church is shut. That it's a shut mouth of the enemy. That your spirit is going to breathe through this body and it's going to begin to establish and it's going to begin to heal and it's going to set free and it's going to move us into our destiny. Not our will, God, but your will be done. Lord, I trust you right now. I thank you there's a collective faith right now in what you are going to do. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a good work. Jesus, I thank you that you already showed us how to live. And I think you're going to keep on showing us every day. In Jesus' name we pray.